Well, it's been very good here this morning. I'm about to spoil it. It's always good to be here. This has always been a wonderful meeting to me. I've enjoyed it. I thought, I've been asking the Lord what I should say today. And I couldn't get away from this verse in Psalm 70. In the fourth verse says, let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. So I want to tell you this morning what God has done for me, and to me the one thing that we sometimes miss along the way is that God has a plan for every life. We're not just one of the herd, but God has a plan for every single life. And when we began to search that out, at least it was for me, I began to find out things about God that I never really understood before, that He had a plan for me. I graduated from Midwestern Baptist College in June of 1963. And of course, Midwestern was built by Dr. Tom Malone, and he was always very adamant about building a church somewhere as long as it wasn't in his backyard. I had my heart set on going to the Northwest, because I hadn't heard very much about anything going on out in the northwest part of our country. So I got down with God one day. I was reading in the book of Ezekiel. I had graduated that evening, and it was about midnight when I was at home reading my Bible. And I remember going into the living room, and I got down on my knees and put my Bible before me. I said, Lord, I want to build a church. But I said, I want it to be where you want it to be. And I said, I want you to tell me where to go. I was reading in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 20. I read verse 46. God said, prophesy to the south, O son of man. That really excited me. It was like God sitting down right across from me. Prophesy to the south. Well, you know, the south is a big place. I wondered where in the south. I kept thinking about that verse. In the meantime, I had a couple of churches that were calling me, wanted me to come and be their pastor. One was up in northern Michigan, so I didn't figure that was south. I had another church that asked me to come, and it was out in the west. And I got very confused. But I couldn't get that verse out of my mind. So I told the Lord, I said, well, I got to find out where this is, and I took a thumbtack, tied a string around it, stuck it in Pontiac, Michigan, where we were living, and naturally I put the map on the wall and the string went down south. It brushed right by a city called Richmond, Indiana, and that rung a bell in my mind because I'd heard my mother and dad talk about Richmond, Indiana. They never had anything good to say about it. We had lived in Richmond, Indiana, when I was just a baby. My dad had gone to Richmond, Indiana to look for work. And I thought how interesting that was. So the first chance I got, I went to Richmond, Indiana, and I looked around. And I told the Lord, I said, Lord, if there's a good independent Baptist church in this town doing something, I'm not going to stop here. Well, I found one independent Baptist church that had been there about 10 years. So I went to a Wednesday night service, had three people. I thought, well, I won't hurt him much. And I kept praying about that. And God wouldn't take it off my mind. So I decided to really get serious about finding a place in Richmond. I said, Lord, I'm going to look for a place for you first. And if you've got a place there, then you can get me a place after I get there. I said, but I want to look in the right place. I said, where should I look? Again, I was reading in Ezekiel chapter 21, verse 19. God said, choose thou a place at the head of the city, where two ways come out of one land. Well, to me, the head of the city would be the north side of town. So I went to the north side of town when I came to Richmond looking around, and I saw a school there. So I went in and talked to the principal. I said, you know, I'm thinking about starting a church. I said, could we use a community room? Do you have one? He said, yes, we have one, but you can't use it. I said, well, we just want it. He said, you can't use it. He said, you're not going to use it. So I said, okay. I went out of the school and I looked across the street and there was a great big old house for sale. I found out it had been built in 1810, 14 rooms, majestic looking place, really. Had a for sale sign in the front yard. So I went down to the real estate agent who was handling it, and I said, how about that house? I had had a barber shop, and I had sold my barber shop after I graduated, and I, waiting around for God to do something with me, I'd spent nearly all my money, so I didn't have any money left. He said, well, they want $16,500. I said, well, what would it take to get it started? He said, take a $1,500 down payment. I said, well, I'll get back to you. I had brought my family to Marion, Indiana. We were visiting my mother and dad. Then I came down to Richmond to look around. So I was on my way back to Marion talking to God, and I said, Lord, I said, you know what I need. And I said, I am not going to borrow any money, and I'm not going to ask anybody for any money. You're going to have to give it to me if you want me there. So we got to Marion, and we were eating breakfast the next day. And my dad said to me, he said, you think you can make it down there? I said, well, I said, God's in it, I can. He said, I got a little money I'll let you use. I said, how much? He said, $800. I thought that's a pretty good start. So I said, okay, I'll take that. I found out there was a fellowship meeting of Baptist preachers going on that very week in Muncie, Indiana. So I drove up there. And I told God, I said, I'm not going to beg anybody. I said, you're going to have to do this for me. So I just preached a regular message. After the meeting, a fellow came up to me. He was a pastor in Indianapolis. He said, I hear you're going to Richmond to start a church. I said, yeah, praying about it. He reached in his pocket and pulled out a check. He said, here's a check for $350. He said, they need a good church down there. I said, well, thank you. I was getting ready to leave the building, and another fellow who was a preacher, a friend of mine, but he didn't know how much I needed. He said, "Frank," he said, "we want to help you down there." He said, "Here, take this. It was a check for $350. Put them together, it comes out $700 every time. God gave me $1,500. I never ask anybody for anything. I felt so wonderful about that. It was like me and God were doing something. I still had all my furniture up in Pontiac, Michigan. I didn't have a place to live down in Richmond. So the next morning, I was at my dad's, and I was in my bedroom, and I was praying, and I said, "Lord, I don't really know what to do." I said, "You tell me what to do. It's the truth, I'm telling you." I was reading again in Ezekiel, chapter 12. The verse says, "Prepare thy stuff for removing." Can you imagine? I read that over two or three times. I said, "Okay, Lord." I went out. My dad said, "Well," he said, "what are you going to do?" I said, "I'm going back to Pontiac and get my furniture." He said, "You don't have a place to live." I said, "Well, I will when I get there." I went back to Pontiac. It was on a Monday. And they were having special services at Emmanuel Baptist Church. I didn't have any money. We went to church, my wife and I. People would come up to me and they said, "Brother Holman, I hear you're going to start a church down in Richmond." I said, "Yeah, that's what we're planning on." It slipped something in my pocket. Shake hands with me. Something in my pocket. I was so pious, I wouldn't look at it. I went home, started taking the money out of my pockets and laying it on the bed. And I had $400. That's enough to get a U-Haul truck. And the next morning I got one. Through all of this, I just felt like God was standing right next to me all the time. Hey, I want to tell you, He is.
Amen.
He's got a plan for your life.
Amen.
And when we step out and there is a need, God will show up every time, I guarantee you. So I'm driving down the road with a truck full of furniture. My wife's in back of me with the car. I said, "Lord, this is great, but I don't have a place to live." And that chapter that I had read in Matthew chapter 6, where God said, "The birds of the air have things to eat. Are you not better than the fowls?" Goes all through that. God was saying to me, "I'll take care of it." I parked that truck by that old house we bought. Went down to the real estate agent. I said, "You got a place that I could rent?" He said, "You know," he said, "I just happen to have one just up the street here. It's right on Main Street." He said, "I need $150 a month." He said, "You pay that?" I said, "No." He said, "How about $125? I said, "No." He said, "Well," he said, "how about $100? I said, "Yeah, I can handle that. I could handle it for a month." But we got into it. I mean, we got into the house. It was right on East Main Street, and it was a nice place. I said, "You know," I said, "I wonder if I'd get somebody to help me unload this truck." He said, "Funny you should ask that." He said, "I got some guys here," he said, "who are looking." He said, "I'll take care of it." He sent three guys out there. I stood back with my arms folded and watched them haul it all in there. That's God doing that.
Amen.
God was in that. So we got started. I've had people say, "How come you didn't move into that old house?" Well, I was afraid because it was all empty rooms and I thought maybe it was haunted. We got started visiting, going up down the street, knocking on doors. We opened up the first Sunday in March of 1964, we had a whopping big crowd. The real estate man and his wife, me and my family. There was seven of us. You'd have thought we had 400. I led the music. We sang, read the Bible, prayed, had a regular service. And that's the way it went, week after week after week. You say, did you get discouraged? You know, I didn't really get discouraged. I beat up on my wife a couple of times, but no, I'm just kidding. We just went at it. My boys, at the time, one was 12, one was 13, the other one was 7. We kept right on going like we had a big crowd. And I really wasn't all that discouraged because God had done so much to get us in there. Amen. That I knew some things were going to happen.
Yes,
had some guy bring me a piano. One of those big old uprights. It was an old one. So I called a guy to come and tune it. Came in and looked at it. And he played it. He said, this is junk. He said, you need to get rid of this. Say, what'd you do? I thought, well, God wants us to build a church. He wants us to have some music. I went downtown to a music place and bought a piano. $15 a month is all it cost me, so I figured I could get by with that a while. Another thing I didn't have a piano player. So I told the Lord about that. You know what he got me? He got me an elderly lady. Played the piano for, I think we paid her $10 a week. She and I got along good. I'd lead the music. She played the piano. I remember the first time we started, we sing When the Roll is Called Up Over, Up Yonder. When the roll is called up yonder. She said, wait a minute, Sonny. That's too fast. She said, don't. My boys go. So she lasted about a month. I got another piano player. Somebody gave me his name, and I went down in the street where he lived, and I asked him if he'd like to do that. And he said, yeah, he played around here and there. He came and he was playing the piano. I went in there. One time he was playing My Blue Heaven. Just Molly and me. And the baby, I said, hey. I said, don't play that here. He said, I play that all the time in the bar where I work. I said, well, I like that. That's pretty. I said, but don't play that here anymore. He quit me because he was getting nervous. The word of God was getting under his hide. He wouldn't get saved. But we were gaining ground. We weren't filling the place up. I'd had some preacher give me 40 of those old farmer chairs. We set those all up. And every once in a while, somebody would drop in and here and there. You know that real estate man I told you about? He said, you know, he said, we'd like to come. He said, but some of the things you preach against, he said, I like to do. I said, well, I know what you mean. I said, I used to be the same way, but I said, if you'll ask the Lord into your heart, he'll change. He said, well, I really think so, but he said, so I lost him. But we kept at it. And I was so aware of God's presence. And I want to tell you, God has a plan for you. Every one of you, God has a plan. Now that I am as old as I am, I can look back in my life and see where God worked some things out, even when I was unsaved, that if I hadn't have taken the road that he opened, it never would have come together. I got out of the service in 1946, and a Navy buddy and myself, we decided we would hitchhike our way to California, get a job out there and go to work. And we got as far as Illinois, and we stayed with one of his relations. And my mother called me there. She said, "Your grandma's very sick," her mother. She said, "Now you don't have to come back if you don't want to, but," she said, "I wanted you to know, my dear old grandma," I said, "I'll be home." I got on a bus the next day and I went back home. My wife, at that time, had gone to California to live with some of her sisters. And she really liked it out there. But her dad, he said, "I can't live with you and I can't live without you. I'm coming to get you." Went to California, he and her mother, and brought her back home. If that hadn't happened, she and I never would have met. See what I'm saying? God has a plan for your life. We met at the YMCA, the Saturday night dance. Two years later, we got married. If she doesn't get mad and leave me, in June of next year, we will have been married 65 years.
Amen.
And God worked it all out.
Amen.
That's what I'm saying to you and to me. God has a plan.
Yes, amen.
We just kept at it, and those two rooms began to fill up. In 1967, we decided we'd better put an auditorium on the front of that old church. So we built an auditorium that would seat 125 people. And God raised the money for us. And the building began to fill up. We had some good times there. I got to tell you this. One of our baptisms, I'm not sure this guy was all together, but I was making my little speech before baptism, and I looked up, I said, and I called his name. He came up over. Down, and he was stark. That's right, you guessed. I mean, not a stitch. I said, no. Good night. The deacon who had been in there with him had stepped out for a moment. And another baptism we had, I was making my speech, and I turned and looked, and this woman was coming down the stairs, had on her bathing suit. Well, you can guess that we had some good time. That building started filling up. We decided that we were going to have more room. We had, in that old house, there was an acre and a half, but it was getting, you know, we were overcrowded. So I thought of that verse, "Choose thou a place at the head of the city." About that same time, a friend that I knew, he said, "Brother Holman," he said, "there's a place out here," he said, "you ought to look at." He said, "It's a farm." He said, "It'd be a great place to build a church." I went out to look at it. It was on the north end of town, out a little ways. There were two roads that came together and joined one. And I thought of that verse. Two ways that come out of one land. 81 acres with the house that's that way in the back. So I went to the church and I told them, I said, we're going to need $6,000 for a down payment. And I said, I want you to pray about it and help us because we need it. We raised the money in 2 weeks. God was in it. On January the 1st, 1972, we moved out there on 81 acres. We moved along. The bus ministry came into view. We started piling up buses. We reached as high as, I think, our high attendance in the last couple of years on a high day was 2,000. Of course, we didn't run that all the time, but it was special days. And that's because God had a plan. I go back over those things and I think to myself, how fortunate I am to be on God's side. When God touches your heart, wants you to go build a church, wants you to go to the mission field, say, well, I can't do that. Yeah, you can. Because God doesn't make any mistakes. And where He sends you, He'll open the door and He'll pay for it. He'll take care of things. And what it did for me, 's just wonderful. I lay down at night and I think back at those things. You know, it wasn't me that did it. I just tagging along. It was God who was opening the doors. The Lord be magnified. He was the one. We've had so many wonderful conversions over these years. Had a guy who, he was one of these guys who would go looking for a fight, go in a bar and get drunk, wreck the place, beat up half of them. He was mean. He came to our church. And after the service, when he was leaving, I said, hey, I want to talk to you. We sat down together. I had the joy of leading him to Christ. Got saved. I mean, he really got saved. His name was Rich Abney. And he had a reputation around town. I mean, he took it hook, line, and sinker. Became a wonderful witness. Wound up going to the mission field. Went to the Philippine Islands. He had three children. One was his little daughter. She was probably 7 or 8 years old. Maybe not quite that old. He built her a tree house over in the Philippines for her to play in. She fell out of that house and she died. But this is the thing I want you to know. God knew all about that. And He told me that His little girl, the day she died, she put little verses around her bedroom. She said to her mother, she said, you keep my brothers out of there. She said, I don't want them messing around. And after her death, the mother, she went in and looked around, and you know how that would be. She was looking at the things that her little daughter had. She opened the closet door, and there on the closet door was a verse of scripture that her little daughter had pasted on there. Said, weeping may endure for the night, But joy cometh in the morning. Is that not like God Almighty? When God has a plan for your life, He may let you go through some tears and turmoil, but He'll always be right there with the Word of God, with some help somewhere along the line. He did a wonderful work on the mission field. He's back in this country now. The morning he came, he brought another guy with him. That guy was just like him, a roughneck, a brawler. He wound up being a preacher also. Wasn't a Baptist. But he was a born-again preacher. And I've often thought, when I go back over those years, those guys never would have gotten saved if it hadn't been for God, who had a plan.
Amen.
We had some of the roughest guys, I don't know why that was, who came through our church and got saved. And not only got saved, but went out and did something for God. Pastoring churches, on the mission field. When God has a plan, the ultimate end of that plan is people getting saved, and lives getting changed, and doing God's bidding. Those are precious years for me. My favorite chapter in the Bible now is the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12. Solomon's writing about old men. Talks about how they can't hear and they can't see. That describes me. I don't hear very well anymore. I got a hearing aid. People come up to me, and sometimes I don't have any idea what they're saying. I say, oh, yeah, that's good. And I find out he's talking about his house burning down. That's why you and I need to make ourselves available. God loves you, and He loves me. He doesn't want to destroy our life or wreck it or ruin it. He wants to reach out and get people saved, and in the doing of it, He wants to bless us and strengthen us. I'm so glad that I've been a part of His plan. I'm not kidding you. Say, was it worth it? Well, let me tell you. We had three boys. My oldest boy now pastors the church that I pastored for so many years. My second boy is pastor of the First Baptist Church in Brookville, Indiana. My third son is pastor of the Landmark Baptist Church in Cincinnati, Ohio. I have two grandsons. One of them is pastor of a Baptist church in Worcester, Massachusetts. Another one started a church in Ashland, Ohio, where he pastors. I have other grandsons who are involved in the music ministry of the church. It's worth it. Because what God does through you, He passes on down to your family, and it makes a difference. I love this crowd. I love this crowd because they brag on me. I love this crowd because they do something. Brother Dyke's a good leader. Amen. I know some of these missionaries who are doing a wonderful work.
Yes, they are.
I'm glad to be part of it. I just wanted to say that to you this morning. That God has a plan for you.
Yes,
you know, we get involved sometimes with the crowd. That's good. But never forget how important you are to God's work. He just needs somebody. I came home one Sunday. You know, we'd been doing real well. But we were in kind of one of those leveling off modes. You know how it goes sometimes when you're building a church. And I was a little discouraged. I thought, well, maybe God wants me to go someplace else. And would you believe the phone rang? And it was a deacon in a church down in Texas. He said, we'd like to have you come down here and candidate. And I thought, oh, man, God really is going to move me out. I said, well, I'll get back to you. So I got the Bible and I got alone with God. I said, Lord, I don't know what you want, but I said, I got to know your mind about this matter. I was reading in Proverbs. This is what God said to me. As a bird wanders from his nest, so is the man who wanders from his place. Oh boy, that's good enough for me. I called that deacon. I said, I can't come. But I was excited because I knew God loved me and God was interested in me. Makes a difference. Well, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for the wonderful privilege of speaking to people who know what I'm talking about. Lord, I pray for this crowd. There are people here that you've been using and others that you want to use. We just pray you'll continue to bring people out, lead them and guide them. Thank you for the missionaries and the preaching we've heard this week. What a blessing it is to hear what God has done and what he's going to do. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.